Hello and welcome back to New Lisbon Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at New Lisbon Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at New Lisbon. At New Lisbon, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from New Lisbon Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or New Lisbon Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@newlisbonbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
Amen. Praise the Lord that there is power in the blood of Jesus and that we have victory in Jesus because He died on the cross for our sins and our salvation. Today, if you have your copy of God's Word, turn with me to John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. We're going to continue our One Another series and looking at some one another passages of God's Word and how we as a church should live in one another fellowship. And today, in particular, we're going to be looking at serving one another, how we as a church, as people, should serve one another. And here in John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17, we see Jesus serve the disciples. So join me now as we read from the Word of God. And so beginning in chapter 13 of John, verse 1, the Word of God says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come to depart of this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands and that He had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside His outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around His waist. Then He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around Him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to Him, 'Lord, do You wash my feet?' Jesus answered him, 'What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand.' Peter said to Him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash your feet, you have no share with Me.'" I'm going to pause here. What Jesus is referencing here is if Jesus doesn't serve Peter, Peter doesn't have salvation. Does that make sense? If Jesus doesn't die on the cross, Peter doesn't have salvation. Same thing for us, right? If Jesus doesn't serve us by dying on the cross, we don't have salvation. So let me continue. "So Simon Peter said to Him, 'Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.' Jesus said to him, 'The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you. For He knew who was to betray Him. That was why He said, 'Not all of you are clean.' When He had washed their feet and put on His outer garments and resumed His place, He said to them, 'Do you understand what I have done to you? You call Me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come to You this morning, Lord, and we thank You again so much for Jesus giving us this example of serving one another by washing the disciples' feet. And eventually leading up, and He's teaching them that He has to serve them, Lord. Serve them by dying on the cross. And so, God, we're just so grateful this morning that Jesus has served us by dying on the cross for our sins, paying the price, Lord, shedding His blood so there's power in the blood so we can have victory, Lord. Victory over sin and death is what Jesus did when he rose from the grave. He served us in this way. We're so grateful for that this morning. God, as we continue to work our way through this passage today, Lord, and we continue to see that we should serve one another, Lord, I pray that we will be a church that lives to serve one another, that we will humble ourselves in such a way that we want to and desire and have an attitude of serving one another. God, I pray this morning that you just help me to preach with simplicity, with clarity and passion, Lord, and that you help me to preach your word and your word alone. So God, we just pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Wash one another's feet. Something that I'm certain that most of us do not want to do. Right? I would just say there's not a single one of us, other than parents here, that want to wash another person's feet. Right? We don't want to do that. But here in John chapter 13, we see Jesus, the Son of God, God Himself, creator of the universe, creator of you and I. Of everything we see, He kneels down and He washes the disciples' feet. Let me tell you, these feet, they didn't just come out of the shower either. These feet were filthy. They were dirty feet. They were feet that was covered with a piece of leather that looked like a sandal. And after stomping around in dirt, dry dirt, all day long, these feet were filthy. They ain't like our feet, which are covered with socks and shoes that go all the way around, right? It'd be easier to wash someone's feet today than it was then. And yet, we still are like, nah, not doing that, right? And yet, we still cringe when we think about washing one another's feet. Jesus was teaching the disciples something here. He's teaching them that no one, right? No one should see themselves as greater than the other. He said clearly, you call me teacher and Lord, and yeah, you are right, I am. But if I, your teacher and Lord, have washed your feet, so too should you. Wash another's feet. Jesus was teaching the disciples that not a single one of them should see themselves as greater than the other. Because what happens when you begin to see yourself as greater than the other? As greater than one another. You begin to think to yourself, I'm too good to do that. I'm better than that. I'm not doing that. I'm not to that level, right? We begin to see ourselves as better and greater, and you know what we don't do? We won't do it. We won't do it. If Jesus saw himself as more highly than the disciples, he would not have washed the disciples' feet. So Jesus is teaching not to see yourself as greater than the other. And here's why. If you see yourself as greater than the other, you will not serve them. Right? You think back to our Philippians chapter 2 passage. Jesus humbled himself, right? Became like us. And he served us, right? If Jesus would have saw himself as greater than us, you know what he wouldn't have did? He wouldn't have served us. And we, as believers, are to reflect this attitude of Jesus in that we are to see each other, one another, as greater than ourselves and serve them, just as Jesus served the disciples. And this is to be the subject in which we will focus our eyes and ears on for these next several minutes as we look at God's Word and see the command that we are to serve one another. And so today we're going to see two reasons why we must serve one another. And the first reason that we see to serving one another is we serve one another because Christ exemplified serving one another. We serve one another because Christ exemplified serving one another. Now I've already kind of pointed this out to you a little bit in the fact that Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Literally, he served them by washing their feet. He demonstrated to them what it means to serve one another. He exemplified service, went to the lowest of lows to exemplify that. Washing the feet of someone was not viewed as a high thing to do, right? Society today, is, we would probably see this as something who washes the toilets, right? Or someone who picks up the garbage or something like that. That's what we would probably think of. That would be this person that we would be describing washing someone's feet. But church, those people too are just like us, created in the image of God. They're people too. They aren't lowly people. There are no lowly people. And those jobs are jobs that must be done, and none of us should ever look at those people and think to ourselves, I'm too good to do that job. Why? Because Christ did it. Christ did it. Christ served others by doing the dirty, yucky job. He humbled himself and washed the feet of the disciples. He served them. And as verse 15 says, "For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you." We serve others because Christ has exemplified to us serving others. In church, it doesn't matter who that person is. We are always quick to want to serve those who we view highly of, or who we respect, or who we know well. But we are slow, really, really slow to serve those we don't see highly, we don't view highly, we don't have a lot of respect for. We don't see as worthy of having our service done to them. And even as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, the reality is others are going to sin against us, right? Everybody do this. Someone in this church is going to sin against you at some point in time. You're going to be upset. You're going to be bothered by it. You're going to complain. Your feelings are going to be hurt. But if we can't find us in it, in ourselves, to forgive one another, you know what we won't do? We won't serve that person, right? We won't serve them. We will just be running around grumbling and complaining and whining about each other rather than serving one another. I mean, just think about it. Jesus washed Judas's feet too. Satan had already come into Judas. Jesus already knew that Judas was going to betray him. Jesus knew that this man, Judas, would lead Jesus to be arrested. Would lead the arresters to Jesus. Let me say it like that, rather. Would you serve someone if you knew they were going to betray you? I wouldn't, right? Our flesh says no, doesn't it? Our flesh wants to pour rubbing alcohol on their feet and strike a match, right? We don't want to serve them. If we know they're going to betray us, if we know they're going to sin against us, if we know they're going to wrong us, we're not going to want to serve them. Our flesh doesn't want to serve those who wronged us, which is why the only way in which we will ever, ever serve those that have wronged us, will serve those that we think are less than us, will serve those that we don't want to serve, is if our hearts have been changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. If God has taken out our old heart and put in a new heart. It's the only way. It's the only way we will ever have a heart like Jesus, and that we will kneel down and see ourselves as lower than someone else in serving them. The reality is this. We need Jesus to serve others. We need the Holy Spirit inside of us to give us the strength to serve others, to tell our flesh no and say, yes, I'm going to serve them. In my Christ-centered expositional commentary on John, the authors, they write this, and I think it's a good word for us to hear. They say, "We will not humbly serve others in our own strength." right? I think we can agree with that, right? We will not serve others in our own strength. We need Jesus' help. Humble service flows from the gospel. So hear that. Humble service flows from the gospel. The power to serve one another is not found inside us. We don't tap on our inner strength and discover secret powers within us, right? Or secret power reserves that says, I got the power now, I can go serve someone. We don't do that. We fall on our faces before Jesus and we beg Him to help us to serve others. We rely on the Holy Spirit to enable us to love others and put their needs before our own. We need Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit inside of our hearts. We need Jesus to change our hearts, to change our attitudes. And that's honestly what I believe Jesus is calling us to hear, to have an attitude of humility and service. And the only way we get that is from Jesus. Serving one another is actions that stem from a humble attitude. And so, church, when the opportunity presents itself to us to serve one another in this church, just know right now that your flesh is going to say no. It's going to want to say no. And you're going to have to battle against it. You're going to have to fall on your face before Jesus and ask Him to give you the strength you need to serve one another. We serve because Christ exemplified an attitude of serving one another. But not only did Christ serve the disciples by washing their feet, Christ would die on the cross of Calvary and serve all of us. He would exemplify service to one another to the greatest level by sacrificing Himself on the cross of Calvary. We read in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." The Son of Man, the Son of God, God Himself came not to be served, but to serve. Church, when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, He served us. He humbled Himself to the point of dying a sacrificial death to serve us by paying the price for our sins. He served us by bearing our sins. He served us by taking upon Himself the wrath of God, our wrath that we so deserve, upon Himself. And for those of us that have believed and trusted in Jesus as Savior and Lord, He serves us continually by being our mediator. He served us even though we didn't love Him. In church, you know what? Even as we daily fail to serve Christ in our own lives in the here and now, even though we daily fail to glorify Him, even though we daily sin, you know what Christ still does? You know what He's still doing? He's still serving us. The greatest example of service we could ever follow. It doesn't matter who said person is. It doesn't matter who they look like or what they look like. It doesn't matter how much they have sinned against Him, yet Jesus still served them. And friend, if you are here this morning and you've never believed in Jesus Christ and repented of your sins, I want you to know today that when Jesus died on the cross, He died for you to serve you. You see, we are all sinners. And as a sinner, we have rebelled against God, the holy God, and has separated us from Him. We have God as our judge, and we are condemned to hell all because of sin. But God, in His goodness, He sent His Son, Jesus, to serve you. To be born of a virgin, to live a perfect and sinless life, to die a sacrificial death on the cross, who would then be buried in a tomb and on the third day be raised from the grave, overcoming sin and death. And this all happens so you can be saved and spend eternity with God as your Savior rather than your judge. This morning, if you feel the Lord calling you or drawing you to Himself, all you've got to do is simply believe in Jesus. Believe that He died for your sins. Believe that He was raised on the third day, and just simply repent of your sin. And the Bible says you will be saved. So if that's you this morning, I just want to encourage you right now to surrender your life to Jesus, to give your life to Jesus. Believe in Him. Trust in Him as Savior and Lord. Repent of your sins. And I would love nothing more than to have a conversation with you at the end of the service and talk about what it means to believe and follow Jesus now. And so to come back to us as a church, we must serve one another because Christ served us. As Christians, our goal is to be to strive for Christ's likeness, right? To live like Christ. To live as Christ lived. And this means that we ourselves should have an attitude of serving others as Christ did. So I ask you now, church, when was the last time you served someone in this church? Has there ever been a time when you chose not to serve one because you didn't see them as maybe worthy of being served, or maybe because they didn't have your respect? Church, for us to live in one another fellowship, we must seek to serve one another in the way Christ served us. Now, I'm not saying that in any and every situation you must serve with physicalness. Some of us, I know, aren't able to serve in certain ways due to age or ability or circumstances, and you shouldn't feel shame in that. But rather, serving said person may be finding an answer or answering the question, how can I serve said person by getting them the help they need? Right? Maybe I could call someone else and say, hey, can you help them? Maybe I can help them figure out whether they need this service or that service from someone else. There's so many ways that we can serve one another. We just have to have an open mind and a prayerful spirit with the strength of Jesus to find those ways to serve one another. Church, I'm challenging you this week. Seek out opportunities to serve one another. And church, what is so interesting about this is God has actually already gifted us in ways of serving one another. And so this leads us to our second reason for serving one another. We serve one another because God has gifted us to serve one another. We serve one another because God has gifted us to serve one another. So look with me at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. He goes on in verse 11, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now some of you may have been wondering, how do I serve others in this church? Well, here is your answer. Verse 10 is your answer. We serve one another when we use the gifts that God has given us to serve others. To say it another way, we serve one another by doing to others the things we're good at. Church, every single one of us Christians, right? Every single one of us as believers, we have been gifted in some way by God. Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul lays out several different ways in which we are gifted, spiritually gifted, to serve Him and to serve others. And I encourage you, church, if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, to go and read Romans 12, to go and read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and pray and ask God to reveal to you your spiritual gifting. to ask God to show you ways in which you are gifted. To maybe even ask a close friend or a fellow church member here at this church for insight on how they think you may be gifted. Hey, brother, hey, sister. What do you think the Lord's gifted me in, right? Because that's the biggest way we figure out what we're good at sometimes, isn't it? When others say, you're really good at that. You should continue doing that, right? And some of you are gifted at things outside of these spiritual gifts, right? You're gifted in way of using your hands, whether it be carpentry work, mechanic work, electric work, gardening work. Some of you just know a little bit about a lot of things. You can do a lot of things. Whatever the work may be, know that God has gifted you in some way to be able to serve one another. To serve His church. To serve this church. I'm reminded of Paul's illustration in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 of the members of the church as a body, a physical body. And he talks about how the body, the physical body, has many members, right? And how it's one body even though it has many members, right? The human body has two hands, right? Right? It has two arms. It's got two legs, two feet. Sorry, I couldn't do both feet at the same time. Forgive me for that one, right? One heart, one nose, one kidney. Actually, there's two kidneys. I messed that one up, didn't I? I would have heard about that all day long from my wife, let me tell you. Yep. And there's so many other parts and members of our body, right? And they all each have a purpose, don't they? Not every member can be the same member either, can they? The arms can't be the eyes. You need your arms to pick up things, right? Your feet can't be your ears. You need your feet to walk. And here's the point of it all. Every single member of this church has been gifted in some way. And when we all use our giftings to serve this church, we are a living and breathing and thriving church. Just think about it. If one foot decided he didn't want to serve the body's going to be walking with what? A limp. It's going to be walking on one foot. If the hand decides it don't want to do its job, then you're down what? You're down a hand. You got one hand to only do what two hands need to do. If the eyes just want to shut down shop and not open up for a day, you're walking blind, right? You can't see where to go. It affects the whole entire body. Church, I believe one of the biggest reasons of the decline of the church here in the States is because we got a bunch of lazy members. And the church has been walking around crippled because people aren't serving the church in ways in which they are called to do. I know that's a hard word. It's the truth. When all the church's members are functioning in the ways in which they are called to serve, to put it another way, as 1 Peter 4:10 says, I'm going to go back to it here. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. When we use our spiritual gifts, when we use the gifts that God has given us, you know what we're doing? We're stewarding well what God has blessed us with. We're stewarding well the gifts that God has given us. The grace, His grace that He's given us, we're stewarding it well. And you know what happens to a church when they begin serving one another, as 1 Peter 4:11 says? Look at that last part. In order that in everything God may be glorified. Through Jesus Christ, to Him belong glory and dominion and forever and ever. Amen. When we serve one another, church, we're stewarding well the gifts that we've been given, and we are glorifying God. First phrase of our mission statement, we exist to what? Glorify God. our very reason for existing is to glorify Him, serve one another. In our sermon today, we've seen two ways or two reasons why we must serve one another. We serve because Christ exemplified serving us. We serve because God has gifted us to serve one another. I want to bring this sermon to a close by highlighting just a couple of things here. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, it says this, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but what? Through love, serve one another." The very first one another we discussed in this series of sermons on one another fellowship was that we were to love one another. And here in Galatians chapter 5, we are reading that we are able to serve one another because we love one another. Honestly, it could have been reason number 3 for us today, right? We serve one another because we love one another. But I figure since I've already highlighted, discussing and talking about how we should love one another already, I wouldn't spend that much time on it. I talked earlier that serving one another isn't just actions, but it's an attitude. There are ways in which we can serve with the wrong heart, right? You ever done that before? Served out of spite? Or you served just out of obligation? Serving because I know I'm supposed to do this, but I don't really want to, right? You ever had that attitude before? Serving because the preacher said we need to. Ever done that before, right? Pastor said we got to serve one another. Let's go do it. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's not the way it should be. We should want to. We should desire. We should crave serving one another because we deeply love one another. The reality is, we love one another when we serve one another, right? You know your husband or your wife loves you when they demonstrate that love, right? When they serve you. The same way, the same thing can be said about us as a church. We know that we love one another when we truly serve one another, not out of spite, not out of obligation, not because the preacher said it, but because you have an attitude and a heart change to serve one another. And this brings me to the last thing. In John chapter 13, verse 17, Jesus says this, "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." He just taught the disciples to wash one another's feet, to serve one another. He just taught that He is the example. He gave the example. And then He goes on and says, if you know these things, if you do these things, if you serve one another, blessed are you if you do them. Church, when we have a humble attitude of serving one another, God's Word says we will be blessed. I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed. Right? Now, I'm not sure how these blessings are going to come. I don't know if these blessings will be in this life or if they will be when we all get to heaven, right? These blessings, they may come now, they may come later, they may come a long time from now. We don't serve one another for the blessings, right? But when we do serve one another, blessings are to come. May we be a church that lives in one another fellowship by having an attitude, a heart posture of serving one another. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come to You right now, Lord, and we just, again, thank You so much for Jesus dying on the cross and exemplifying service. Lord, I pray today that You will convict us all, myself included, that we are commanded, Lord, to serve one another, to humble ourselves, to see each other as greater than ourselves, and serve others. And so, God, I pray that for our church today, Lord. That when people look at this church, whenever they see people in this church, Lord, that this community is just hearing resounds of how this church loves one another and cares for one another so much that they serve each other so well, Lord. That it just displays Jesus to this lost and dying world around us. God, may we be a church that lives in that one another fellowship by serving one another. God, we need your strength. We need you to continue to daily change our hearts, Lord. Giving us a hush posture for it. We pray all this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.